CVS Health, which operates more than 9,600 pharmacies and stores in the U.S., is going au naturel. The company on Monday announced it would stop using digitally altered photographs to market its beauty products. CVS pledging to not, quote, materially alter the imagery, including models' shapes, sizes, lines, wrinkles, or other characteristics. CVS is introducing what it calls the beauty mark, an indicator that an image has not been digitally manipulated.
Russia will not support America's demands for changes to the Iran nuclear deal. On Monday, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Moscow will work to preserve the existing agreement. Lavrov's remarks come after U.S. President Donald Trump said he wanted to fix, quote, the terrible flaws of the 2015 deal that curbed Iran's nuclear program. Lavrov also suggested American efforts to rewrite the Iran deal could endanger efforts to reach an agreement with North Korea.
Airbus has beaten Boeing in their annual order contest for the fifth year running. A flurry of sales in the closing weeks of 2017 saw the European plane maker overhaul Boeing's recent lead in the global jet market. Net orders after cancellations rose 52% to 1,109 aircraft, ahead of Boeing's 912. Airbus also confirmed it had met its core 27 target of more than 700 deliveries.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's January 16th, 2018. 5:10 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us after the long holiday weekend. We're back at it with another business day underway and lots to talk about this morning. It's auto show season, and we're going to be dedicating the show today to the Detroit Auto Show. Dale Buss will be with us momentarily. A little bit later on, we'll check in with Nick Miles, who is the president of the Northwest Automotive Press Association. All things auto show this morning, technology, trends, you name it, we're going to cover it this morning. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a really strong open later this morning on Wall Street. We saw this building yesterday, even after the long weekend for investors. The Dow futures right now are up 239 points, almost a full percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. NASDAQ futures up 41 points. Oil is trading at $64.01 a barrel. And that is down about 29 cents around the globe. Markets generally higher in London, with the FTSE up just a fraction. The DAX is up about a percent, and the CAC is up about half a percent. In Asia this morning, markets also generally higher. The Nikkei up a full percent, 236 points. The Hang Seng up almost 2% at 565 points. Some stories we're watching for you this morning. Bitcoin tumbled nearly 18% early today on a four-week trough of down almost 11% after reports that a ban on trading cryptocurrencies in South Korea was still an option, driving fears of greater and wider regulatory crackdown. Bitcoin falling almost 23% early on. Ripple is down 33%. Ethereum down 23% as well. Again, Bitcoin at about 11,000. You remember it was as high as 16 and 20,000. Just a few weeks ago. One of the other stories we're watching, too, is with the situation with the DACA and the budget, a deadline coming this Friday for the government to either do an extension, do a budget, or shut down. And DACA seems to be the stick in the mud here, as lawmakers from both sides are talking about the potential for a shutdown if no deal on DACA is made. It is the North American International Auto Show in Detroit getting underway. Lots going on there. Dale Buss, who's a contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine, among others, is in Michigan. He's covering the show this week and is with us first thing this morning. Dale, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I'm on my way in right now.
So this is a big deal, right? I mean, give us sort of an overview of the show there. I know most people consider it the Detroit Auto Show, but it's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really the premier North American auto show each year. And, you know, there are obviously other big ones, Frankfurt and Tokyo, Shanghai, Geneva, but in the U.S., obviously Chicago has a great show, and Los Angeles, a big one, New York, not such a huge one, but this is the granddaddy of them all, and it's just been interesting to see, having been to all of these over the past 10 years and many of them in the years before, how the whole thing has evolved, I think, significantly in two ways, at least. One is the industry is really back after this seven-year run of higher sales, and you can see that. It's reflected in the activity, the number of product introductions, the emphasis on SUVs and trucks, which are their highest profit vehicles. Yeah, sales, you know, went down in the U.S. slightly last year, but the industry feeling, you know, pretty robust in the middle of a good long run. And the second major thing is how the show has evolved. It was all about performance and horsepower, you know, when the recession hit. Since then, it's gone through a phase of emphasizing electrification, which was huge a few years ago. It still is a big deal, but now all the talk is about autonomous driving, mobility. There are, you know, as many chip companies here as auto companies, and the Detroit show has sort of evolved with it into a mobility exhibition, as well as something about the, you know, the traditional horsepower and fuel economy and great looks of cars.
I want to unpack a couple of things there. First, you talked about the electric part of this. Ford has already made some headlines. Others are talking, too, about how many electric cars they want on the road. Would you say that's going to be one of the big headlines from this, is all of the companies putting the firm dates on when they want electric cars, more electric cars out there?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's a more and more kind of thing. It's been happening for several years, obviously. The industry is being pushed by regulatory standards under the Obama administration. They have to have certain corporate fuel economy averages over the next few years. The industry has been pushing back against that. So far, Donald Trump has not necessarily given them relief. So they got to keep putting all electric vehicles, hybrids, plug-in hybrids. They have to keep on putting more models out there to meet these requirements. Plus, the Chinese market and the Chinese authorities have flipped in a significant way on EVs, and they're requiring a lot of EVs as well. So the industry has to meet that demand, even though in North America, electric vehicles of all sorts are still only a few percent of the market, not expected to grow significantly only in the next few years, since gasoline prices are reasonable. So, but then you've got huge announcements that are still based on electric vehicles, like Ford saying they're going to double the investment in EVs, and the number of vehicles is going to grow exponentially, and Ford wants to be a leader in EVs in the next few years. So it's still definitely on everybody's minds here. It's huge news. It's just a question of whether American buyers are really going to want EVs in the next few years.
Yeah, I saw one note yesterday, $19 billion investment coming from all the automakers in the U.S., $21 billion from China, $52 billion in Germany. So there's a lot of dollars floating around.
Right, and it's just interesting because the dollars are floating around more and more. Models, you know, not just at the show, but in general in the industry, model introductions more and more are about electric vehicles, and yet American buyers still are just not going for them. And I think one of the keys is going to be the industry producing not just electric vehicles that have their own nameplates, but producing electric and, you know, capable electric versions of all their regular vehicles, and that may help in terms of marketing and consumer acceptance. But it's still a long slog ahead, for sure.
Dale, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to continue with Dale Buss, who's at the auto show in Detroit, the North American International Auto Show.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're on with Dale Buss this morning at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Dale, we reading a story you did yesterday for Forbes about some of the meetings that are happening there with on innovation partnership. Lots of meetings going on. Is that going to be another one of the big headlines?
Well, it may not be a big headline, but it is of significance. I mean, one of the things that the Detroit show has had to do over the last few years is compete with the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas every year, because as you've seen a coming together of the automotive industry and digital tech when it comes to automated driving features. I mean, even a lot of things in today's vehicles, like lane departure warnings and radar brakes and all that stuff. So industries have come together, and of course, in the future, they're going to be fused even more because of autonomous driving and the demands. The Detroit Auto Show has tried to keep up by expanding into being a mobility industry platform, inviting chip companies, startups, people with all sorts of ideas about technology to the show as well. And so it's extended the usual press preview by a couple of days to make room for a lot of discussion, talks, seminars, speeches about mobility. Well, part of that they've added this year at the North American International Auto Show is a matchmaking event or a platform that's actually sponsored online by the Michigan Economic Development folks and the Detroit Auto Show, where startups can schedule meetings for the Cobo Center this week with OEMs, automotive OEMs, with big suppliers, with venture capitalists, with universities, to show them what they got and get some investment, some interest, some partnership. So it's part of the broth here, I guess, and it's a bubbly part of it. And then the show folks are optimistic that this will become an important part of what they do going forward, especially as autonomous driving slowly takes over what the industry is doing.
You write that some of these big corporates and VCs are looking for the great next startup. Any sense of what that might be? Is there any inkling of what you've seen or what the previews are?
Sure. And part of this is also reflecting the trend, not just in the auto industry, but pretty much across business, of large companies looking to small companies, looking to startups for ideas, for innovations, for talent, for energy in some cases. And they're acquiring them. They're investing in equity stakes in them. They're incubating these small companies. So they're all looking for innovation beyond what large companies themselves can do, and maybe at a faster pace than what they can do. And it could be just about anything. It could be a company that's developed algorithms or software for machine learning or artificial intelligence, the very crucial concepts that are going to be behind the deployment of autonomous driving. But interestingly, it could be as something as mundane as this small company called Siva, which is based in Seattle and Detroit. They presented yesterday an idea for keeping the sensors and cameras and all these various eyes that are going to be on cars going forward, keeping them free of debris and dirt and bird droppings and snow and ice. You know how you have fluid in for your windshield wipers? Well, they have a system for deploying fluid around a car in a very quick way, a fast-acting and effective way, and they've already got a deal with Ford to explore their technology for Ford's self-driving vehicles going forward.
That's going to be a great one. I think anybody who's out there driving this morning that has one of those new backup cameras can attest to the fact that that thing's clouded.
Yep, and that's where the idea came from, and multiply a backup camera by the dozens, at least, if not the hundreds, on cars of the future. To enable self-driving, you got to keep those things clean, or the whole thing, breaks down.
Yeah, Dale, you mentioned earlier that the car companies are going to want to try to jumpstart sales. Any idea of how they're going to do that? Any indications of where they're going?
Well, there's not anything they can do at this show, obviously, to do that. However, you do see at the show a huge emphasis on the categories in the industry that are popular now and increasingly popular, and that would be sport utility vehicles, crossover vehicles, which obviously more like a car, but they're utility vehicles, and especially pickup trucks. So a couple of years ago at the show, you had Ford showing off its new F-150, and the big innovation there was that it had an aluminum bed for lighter weight. This year, what we've seen at the show already is that General Motors introducing a new 2019 version of its Silverado pickup truck, which obviously is another heavyweight in that market. And Chrysler introduced a new version of Ram. Now, both of those will be coming out later this year. And so that's one answer to how the industry is going to combat sales that have softened a little bit. They're going to make sure that they're profitable. And the best way they can make sure they're profitable is to have pickup trucks that people want, because those are the industry's highest profit vehicles.
Dale, always good talking with you. Have fun this week. Don't work too hard.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Dale Buss with us from Michigan this morning. It is the annual North American International Auto Show, NAIAS, the Detroit Auto Show. We're going to link out to Dale's latest story on this, by the way, from Forbes, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. As states around the country experiment with autonomous vehicles, Illinois has been slower to adopt the innovation and prepare for a driverless future. Governor Bruce Rauner signed a bill that would prevent local municipalities from banning autonomous cars in Illinois, but it doesn't go into effect until June 2018. According to state government representatives, not a single autonomous vehicle has been tested in Illinois. Innova EV in Burr Ridge is testing its autonomous vehicles in Columbus, Ohio, and has plans to deploy them in Illinois once it's legal to do so. And Arity, Allstate Insurance's technology arm, is using their driver data to help make autonomous vehicles smarter. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Check out more on our exclusive report about the state of Chicago's driverless cars at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell as we take a deep dive into autos this morning from the auto show in Detroit. It's the North American Auto Show there, the big show that's really one of the granddaddies of them all. We're happy to have with us Nick J. Miles, who is a journalist covering these cars, these auto shows. He's an automotive expert. You see him probably on WGN and Tribune Media TV stations across the country. Nick, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning from Detroit, where all the bling is laid out for everybody to see what the cars look like in the future.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, I was on your YouTube page last night, and I probably, you kept me there for about an hour watching some of the videos. Lots of exciting, shiny new vehicles. Have you picked a favorite yet?
You know, that's really hard to do. I will say that my favorites tend to go more with vehicles I will never be able to own. There is a new Lamborghini Urus that they rolled out yesterday, their first SUV, and it's $200,000. That's kind of the clincher there. It does have 650 horsepower and will go to 0 to 60 in about 3.6 seconds, but I don't think I have $200,000 to fall into my next car, unfortunately.
Yeah, yesterday, Nick, I want to, before we talk about some of the more of the new cars, you know, they announced the awards for the year. Were you surprised by any of them? I know a lot of people are talking about the choice of the Lincoln Navigator as the truck of the year. Any thoughts on those winners?
Yeah, that's the one that does seem to get a lot of the attention for a poor choice, I guess. I would have personally chose the Chevy Colorado ZR2 because it's the only what I would call true truck. The reason that the Navigator and the Expedition were finalists in the truck of the year is because they're built off the Ford F-150 platform. So that sort of seems to work its way over to what would be a truck. The other winners weren't a surprise, the Volvo XC60 won Utility Vehicle of the Year, and then the Honda Accord won the Car of the Year. It was a very close race this year, but I still I love the Navigator, I think it's great, but for $90,000, is that an everyman's truck? You know, is that an everyman's SUV? I have a little bit of a hard time with that one.
Yeah, and also, are you going to be able to throw stuff in the back of it and treat it like you would a truck? Especially if you were doing, you know, manual labor and if you're a contractor or something like that. At that price, I'm not sure that I'd want to put a scratch on it.
You're absolutely right. I have five dogs, and you know how wet it gets in Chicago, how you can get them muddy if you take them to the park. I'm not sure I'd put them in a $90,000 SUV all over the carpets and the leather. But, you know, there are some amazing vehicles that I would put them in here. There's a new Ford Edge this year. They've updated it for 2019, and Ford has done something interesting. They've added a ST version, which is a sort of performance version of their Edge. So you don't have an SUV that doesn't perform. This definitely does perform with around 330. 25 horsepower. Well, and that's what we're seeing an awful lot of. People are asking for more performance and more power and sort of better off-roading out of their SUVs. Jeep doing the same thing with a new Cherokee that was rolled out. Actually, that won't be rolled out until later today. We luckily enough, we got to see it. And all the cars, all the vehicles that are coming out tend to be more SUVs. There's a new Lexus SUV, which is a concept called the LF1 Limitless. There's also a new CrossMotion from Nissan showing you what they think SUVs will look like in the future. Interesting statement, by the way, by Lexus yesterday. They said that every vehicle that they have in their lineup by 2025 will have either electric, fully electric version or a hybrid version. So it looks like however much the government may not want us to go to electric and hybrid vehicles, it looks like the automakers are going to go there anyway.
Yeah, and trucks are, and SUVs are going to be big again this year. I know one of the hot new ones that I like from the videos I saw from your site is the new Ford Ranger. This is something that I can see, you know, hauling dogs and stuff around in.
Absolutely. You know, if we talk about trucks, there were three big introductions here. The Ranger, which has been away since the early 2000s from Ford. They're making a return because it's been so successful, people like Chevy and for Toyota with their Tacoma. So Ranger's back again. They're putting a lot more tech on the inside of this vehicle, which I think is really great. Ram rolling out their 1500, tons of tech in that. Also, that's a very Tesla-esque 12-inch screen, looks like an iPad in the middle of the vehicle on that Ram. And then Chevy rolling out their new Silverado. The interesting thing is, so, you know, Ford went all aluminum with their truck, and they thought that was the future. But Chevy have 80% high-strength steel, and the Ram 1500 has 98% high-strength steel. They're both deciding that steel is the future. Chevy lightened theirs by 450 pounds because they're trying to get better at fuel economy. So people finding that steel is the choice there. And then definitely, you're right, the SUVs, I have a factoid that I looked up this morning. J.D. Power & Associates saying that light trucks and SUVs will make up 60% of the vehicles sold in 2018, which is an interesting statistic.
Wow, that is a kind of an interesting statistic and a high number. I wouldn't expect that, especially considering oil prices going up. Nick, let's talk a little bit about some of the concept cars, because this is always one of the fun areas of the auto show where we sort of get to look into the future. One of the ones that just jumps off the page at me is the iRide.
Yeah, so Toyota are pushing out what they're looking at as their future of mobility. So they have a whole fleet of vehicles called the i. So the iWalk, the iRide, and the iConcept. So the iRide, let's think about this. As autonomy changes our world, so what's going to happen? So if a car drives itself, who suddenly becomes able to have a car? No longer is it just the people that can operate a gas pedal, a brake, a steering wheel. Suddenly you have kids. They could have their own cars. The elderly, people who are disabled, so they're suddenly going to be able to drive because the car's going to do all the work. So what Toyota's saying, well, if all these people are going to be able to have cars, let's make them for people who are weren't originally allowed to get into vehicles or had a harder time getting into vehicles. The disabled, the iRide, will actually have room to get a wheelchair in it. It's specially made. So a wheelchair will go into the vehicle on the side and fold up. You don't have to have a steering wheel. It's going to be driven by joysticks. It can be full autonomous. You can drive it. It will do things like park itself, retrieve itself from parking spaces. The technology is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, even in cars, like they have a new Hyundai Nexo here, which is a next generation of hydrogen vehicles. These vehicles will press a button and it will just go get itself from a parking space and bring itself out. That I love because no longer do I have to suffer door dings in my car.
The idea that you would not have a steering wheel anymore and to watch this iRide where you literally just have the joysticks on the armrests, it looks so futuristic. It's almost unsettling to me. How quickly are we going to see some of this stuff?
I honestly think you're going to see the disappearance of the steering wheel in the next 48 months.
Wow.
Chevy showed a picture of their Bolt that doesn't have a steering wheel, the next version of the Bolt. You're going to start to see more and more autonomous vehicles on the road. The only thing, you know, by the way, that's holding us up on autonomous vehicles, we have fully autonomous vehicles. I mean, I'm standing right in front of a Ford fully autonomous vehicle right now at the auto show. We have these vehicles. What's holding us up is legislation. So there's a lot of interesting things. Start thinking about these things that are going to happen. when you have vehicles that completely obey the law, that means no running red lights, no parking violations, because as soon as you get out, the vehicle's going to go park itself back at your house and then come and pick you up. No speeding. There's no law breaking. What happens to that income that municipalities make out of tickets, like speeding tickets, red light tickets? That's going to go away. That's a huge hit that they're going to take. So legislation right now is looking at all these things and going, how is this going to change the infrastructure of our cities? There's going to be an awful lot of technology that's going to come in there and change the way we function as human beings.
Yeah, that's disruption on steroids. And, you know, another part of that, too, is everybody going to need a vehicle? And how will that change the face of auto shows like the one in Detroit if they don't have to produce as many cars because they're either autonomous group vehicles running around or just everybody doesn't need one? That's going to be a big change, too, isn't it?
You've hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. So Toyota is going to roll out at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo something called ePallet. An ePallet is a vehicle that's sort of bus-shaped. It's not so much about the vehicle as the platform. This vehicle can take people to work as a rideshare in the morning. And the minute that you're at work, then what it'll do is turn itself into a package delivery where it can go pick up packages from UPS, FedEx, the post office, and start delivering them to people's houses. At lunchtime, it will be a food delivery service, and it will have little carts on the inside, for instance. So you order food at WGN. It'll arrive at the front door. This little cart will come out. It will come into the building and up to your floor. And when it recognizes your face, it will unlock so you can take your food out of it. So that's the sort of thing we're looking at. If you want to order a new pair of shoes, you'll look on your phone. You'll order the shoes. The store will actually show up in a vehicle outside the building. You can walk out, try on a couple pairs, keep the ones you want. It'll charge you automatically. So this is the infrastructure of cars. They're no longer going to be single transportation vehicles that you take to and from the radio station. These are going to be things that have jobs when they're not being used by you.
Jetsons, eat your heart out.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you can think it, they can build it.
Yeah. Nick, very good talking with you. You have the best job in the world. You know that, don't you?
Thank you, sir. I try and remember that every morning when I'm getting up at 1 a.m.
All right, Nick J. Miles with us this morning. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Nick J. Miles and head over to testmiles.com and find his YouTube page as well, because there are hours and hours of enjoyment with some of these new cars. Again, Nick from the auto show in Detroit. And by the way, you can also check in on the auto show, too, online. You can follow them on Twitter at N-A-I-A-S Detroit. For the latest on the North American Auto Show.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, a couple of notes in terms of cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency in some places lost more than 18% and up to 25% overnight. It'll begin trading at about 11,000. All futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 230. NASDAQ futures are up 40. Gold and silver are mixed. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, and welcome to the first day of trade for this week. Markets closed yesterday in observance of Martin Luther King Day. And as we look back to last Friday, seems like a long time ago, but wheat futures tumbled nearly 3%. That's their biggest daily decline since August. Corn futures fell to life of contract lows, in case you'd forgotten, and soybeans turned slightly higher in the ending trade on Friday. So that means we'll be starting March wheat at 420 and a half a bushel. March corn will start the trading week at 346 and a quarter cents. January soybeans gained, March beans gained 12 and a half cents last Friday. So they'll start the week at 960 and a half. Meanwhile, we take a look at the live cattle trade. Hogs turned higher on Friday thanks to some short covering and bargain buying, but buy stops and pre-weakened short covering lifted the CME cattle futures slightly higher. So that's where we're going to start the trading week today. As we look ahead to the rest of this month, we have two major livestock conventions coming up the end of the month. the American Sheep Industry Association meeting in Texas starting on January 31st, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association will hold its annual meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, beginning on January 31st. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of other notes before we leave you this morning. United Health Group's earnings more than doubled in the final quarter of 2017, and the nation's largest insurer hiked its forecast for the new year, due in part to a gain from the federal tax overhaul. United Health now expects adjusted earnings of $12.60 a share in 2018, up from its initial forecast of $10.55 to $10.85 a share. Another note, too, from Europe. European Union Council President Donald Tusk this morning has urged Britain to change its mind about leaving the bloc next year as time to conclude a Brexit agreement runs short, and EU leaders wait for more details about how the country sees future ties. Tusk, who chairs the summits of EU leaders and speaks on their behalf, quoted the UK Brexit envoy David Davis as saying that if a democracy cannot change its mind, it ceases to be a democracy. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk today. Not much going on in terms of economic reports that we expect out today. We do have a couple of earnings, Citigroup and United Healthcare. Also today, we'll see the Empire State Manufacturing Survey. There will be some Treasury auctions as well. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, tomorrow, Bank of America and Goldman Sachs earnings. Tiffany has its holiday sales report out. Morgan Stanley and IBM report earnings on Thursday. Friday, the January consumer sentiment report released by the University of Michigan. Some of the things that could move the markets.